Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, December 30th, 2018. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is leading the service of Christmas songs. The Old Testament lesson today is Psalm 148, and the New Testament lesson is Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 35.
Maybe you didn't know, but Isaac Watts did not publish Joy to the World thinking that it was going to be a Christmas carol. It's actually a song that looks at the Messiah's coming, the coming kingdom, and talks a bit about the second coming of Christ. But we now also use it to celebrate the Christmas. It's a very positive song, and it sends people into the world to share good news. Our New Testament text is what happens immediately after the birth, continuing on the gospel story in Luke. This is Luke 2, verses 21 through 35. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, for the glory of your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and is to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today I thought we would do some more celebrating in music and in hymns. There is something different about singing together. And I found an old book about music's role in worship. Although it was written in the 40s, I found it to be just as true today. Here are five things that hymn singing helps us do. Through singing hymns, Christmas hymns or regular hymns, we Christians express our feelings and ideas. We sing of rejoicing, Christian friends rejoicing and joy to the world. And the hymns become a matter of expressing that outwards. But two, also, hymns function as telling other people what we believe. The hymns contain contents and words of our theology about who it is we are praying, what it is we believe about God, where the Holy Spirit shows up in the world. Three, and I think this is the one we feel when we are together, through hymn singing, we are bound together in closer fellowship. When a group of us sings the same melody, responds to identical rhythms, breathes at the same breaths, we cease to be these isolated individuals, and we become a community voice. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who some of you studied this year, wrote this: "It is the voice of the church that is heard in singing together. It is not you that sings. It is the church that is singing. And you, as a member of the church, may share in its song. Thus, all singing together what is right must serve to widen our spiritual horizon, make us see our little company as a member of the great Christian church on earth, and to help us willingly and gladly join our singing, be it feeble or good, to the song of the church." Fourth, through hymn singing, Christians are instructed in the fundamentals of the faith. I don't know about you, but for me, I don't remember every scripture that I hear, but if you put it to music, it just has stayed in there forever. I can still do 1 John 4, 7, and 8 that way. Vacation Bible school songs about this little light of mine. Music stays and is part of our Christian formation. And lastly, we have times that we are singing congregationally, but there are also times that the music and these spiritual songs can sustain us in daily life and in prayer. Have you ever been humming to yourself when you needed to know and lean on those everlasting arms of Christ? I have been in hospital rooms and at bedsides where you're not even sure if somebody can see or respond, but you're pretty sure they can still hear you. And to be able to sing something that touches the heart beyond anything that can be seen. And so it is appropriate today that we continue in song. And song that isn't so much performance and you listening, but that we sing together these Christmas songs of the church. I also have looked up some history on at least a few of these songs. You heard me talk about Joy to the World. I want to back up and talk about Good Christian Friends Rejoice, which we did at the beginning of it, because I learned a new word this week, macaronic. You know what macaronic is? Yeah, she's looking at me like, I don't know. Macaroni, right? And also, in the hymnal, if you flip to 132, it's there on the bottom of the page, actually. Look, you get cheater hints. One of the things I actually have appreciated about our new hymnals, Glory to God, is that on the very second to the bottom of the page, there is a little bit of history or a little comment on every single hymn that is here. Carols using two languages, like this one, dating from at least the 14th century, belong to a special group called Macaronic. So Macaronic means it was originally written in two languages, in this case, German and Latin. So there is your fun fact for today. So the song we're going to sing next is It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. And that, in your hymnals, is on page 123. It was written in America, and it takes a while to back up and go, what is the it? It came upon a midnight clear?
That glorious song.
The thing that came was not Jesus' birth. The thing that came in this is the glorious song of old. And so this is a hymn that doesn't necessarily celebrate Jesus' birth as much as it does the angel's song. It was written by a Unitarian Universalist minister as a hymn for peace. It was originally written as the United States was heading towards the beginning of civil war. And the minister was concerned about the strife and concern in the world. Look at verse 3. And the same sense of woe in the world feels present, I think, in our days as well as our cry for peace. Yet with woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the heavenly hymn have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And we at war on earth hear not the tidings that they bring. Oh, hush the noise and cease the strife to hear the angels sing. Let us join those angels now in songs of peace.
Amen.
Our next hymn is Silent Night, Holy Night. As some of you are aware, we are celebrating the 200th anniversary of the writing of this song. It's a song that was written for guitar and very simple accompaniment. And one of those urban legends is that the organ wasn't working that year because the mice had chewed at the bellows. Although now historians say, is that the fanciful story of how this started? We're not sure if the organ was working or not. But what we are certain for is that Joseph Moore, who was a priest living near Salzburg, specifically wrote this with guitar and very simple accompaniment. Many of you also know that this was the song that was sung in the midst of World War I, December 1914, when the war had been raging on for 5 months and winter was on the front. Pope Benedict VI suggested that on Christmas the troops engaged in a temporary armistice. No one thought such a thing could happen. It's a war, after all. But in that week leading up to Christmas, German troops, longing for a bit of joy, a bit of home, began decorating the areas around their trenches. British soldiers began following suit. And step by tentative step, the Pope's suggestion became a reality. Of course, there's various stories of how the Christmas truce took place. Some mention games of football. Others mention tentative signs reading, "We no shoot, you no shoot." No. But almost all mention relief and joy and the shaking of hands, most of them which began the same way, with German troops singing, "Stillet Nacht, Heilet Nacht," and the British knew the tune and continued it on, "All is calm, all is bright." There is something about the tune of Silent Night, isn't there? It's been translated across into 140 languages, and even UNESCO, the United Nations, declared it intangible cultural heritage. But it's part of, there's a humanity to this song. It has a quiet kind of universality, and it lends itself well, always, to a night of silence. One of the scholars, too, in The Atlantic wrote that the lyrics are broadly relatable, describing a mother, a child, the peaceful quiet of them first getting to know each other. Silent Night is the crèche. It's the nativity scene made flesh through music. Let us sing it together.
Thank you.
next Christmas carol is Lo, How a Rose E'er Blooming. The origin of the image of the rose is open to some speculation. For example, an apocryphal legend has it that on Christmas Eve, a monk in Trier found a blooming rose while walking in the woods, and then placed the rose on the vase, in a vase on the altar to the Virgin Mary. Some Catholic sources look that the focus of the hymn was on Mary, who is compared to being the symbol of the mystical rose from Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 1, which reads, "I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys." But the later Protestants, who we are not as big on focusing on Mary, altered its focus away from Mary and onto Jesus, referring more to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots." Another connection to that is that in German, perhaps the first line was ein Ros, a rose, or ein Reis, which is a branch. The original hymn had 19 stanzas. I'm really glad there aren't 19 in our hymnal. I grew up learning two. This one has a third verse. And notice that the third verse mentions this sense of smell. There aren't that many of our hymns that includes the sense of smell and the fragrance of God. So let us sing of the image and the smell of the rose. So here's your turn. Pull out your hymnal, and all the Christmas songs are sort of in that 100 to 130 or so. Is there a hymn that you would like to sing? Yes? 145. What child is this? Excellent. Let us sing that together. Thank you. on the bottom of the page, which says that the second halves of stanzas 2 and 3 give a stark forward glimpse ahead for what lies for the babe born in Bethlehem. Yes?
O come all ye faithful.
Page?
133.
It's 133. Let's stand for this one. Why not? One more, Becca. Yeah.
135, there's a star in the east.
135, there's a star in the east. Whoops, I just flipped the page.
Thank you.
hand up in the back. Who is back there?
Once in Royal David City.
Can we do verses 1 and 2?
Yes.
Yeah.
Visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.